The Board of Directors meeting to order, this being August 19th, 2020, time being 9 a.m. Director Slosson, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Shayla, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Pauley?
Present.
Director Corona?
Here.
Director Slosson?
Here.
Director Record?
Here.
And we have council present? I guess Steve will join us later.
Steven, are you there? Steven, are you there?
Shall we just proceed and see if we can get him to dial in? With that, this being a virtual meeting, and this being the time for agenda item one, public comments, do we have anybody from the public who has called in today that would wish to speak? Anything that would be within the jurisdiction of EMWD? Hearing none. Let's go to executive reports.
Thank you, President Sullivan, members of the board, good morning. Before I get started, Shayla, perhaps if he can't dial in, you could dial him in on a cell phone and we could put Stephen in that way.
Yes.
My written report was linked up yesterday, and I do want to go through a few items. Yesterday, we had a very productive meeting with the Metropolitan Water District operations and management staff. Essentially, we did what was called a hot wash debriefing on the Santa Ana Valley pipeline rupture and the Mills filtration plant shutdown. It was, I thought, again, very productive. We went through the incident in detail. They had done an internal hot wash as well as we had, too, and so we were able to compare notes of what came out of that. But it was particularly productive because it allowed us to not only share those lessons learned on the incident itself, but also to identify some specific follow-up items regarding our planning for future similar outages. One of the recommendations that we will probably be bringing back to the board is to conduct really a joint kind of infrastructure and a scenario operations study that would involve Western, Metropolitan, and Eastern. Specifically, we have certain capital improvements that are going to be in place over time, as does Western, that could affect the ability to serve those areas with local water supplies. And so what we want to do is look at those capital improvements that each agency is have and then come up with some operating scenarios if we did have a similar outage in the future of how those resources would be deployed. It also might give us the opportunity, for example, to say if we had a capital improvement that was some years off that we could accelerate and increase our reliability under an emergency outage that we might want to do so, as would Western. Met also identified some things it was looking at. For example, there's a floating cover in the wet well of the plant, or the clear well of the plant, that they're looking at repairing that would allow the use of additional storage. In addition, they are also working with DWR, and DWR owes them a couple of things that they're going to share with us. One is information as to the cause of the rupture of the pipe. I think everybody knows it was hit by a directional drill, but was that the fault of the private contractor? Was that the fault of DWR by not marking the pipe? You know, kind of what the outcome of DWR's investigation was. And then the second item they're looking at is Met asked DWR for a cost to install an isolation valve on the Santa Ana Valley Pipeline. Very large valve, obviously, it'd be quite costly. There's right-of-way constraints, but that's the other thing they're going to share with us. So we are going to follow up on this. We'll be reaching out to Western to kind of coordinate this, but I think this would be a very productive study to do, and it would also make sure that we're better prepared should this happen again. This is a vulnerable area of our service area. We've all known that. We have a capital program to address that in the future, but if you do have a long outage at the Mills plant, it can affect us as well as Western, so we'll work through this. Under past ongoing activities, very interesting, after many years of delay, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife actually published the final environmental impact report for the land management plan for the San Jacinto Wildlife Area. That report was put up last week, that final EIR. It's over 1,000 pages, so it's a very thorough document, and it really provides the environmental clearance for the land management plan, both from the biological enhancement that they plan to do out there, as well as the recreational use. It also has an operation and maintenance plan. In that plan is contemplated the use of recycled water. And so we're going to be reviewing that and then sitting down with him to renegotiate a long-term recycled water supply and operations agreement. If you'll recall, the original 1987 agreement for supplying recycled water expired in 2014. We've been doing annual renewals of that recycled water agreement, single-year extensions, without changing the terms, in anticipation of this management plan and environmental document actually being completed. So we are now at the finish line with that, and we are putting together terms for a multi-year recycled water agreement that not only work for the wildlife area, but are also more consistent with the recycled water agreements that we have executed with other customers and work with our program. Third item is we continue to work on the Myriad Division Focused Municipal Services Review. One of the issues that came up was really how development could be supported through the construction and financing of new infrastructure. Now, we had communicated with the consultant and through with the executive director of Riverside County, LAFCO, of how we use community facilities districts or CFD financing to support development. Bear in mind, a big driver of this study was the need for infrastructure to be able to support economic development in this area of Murrieta, which the city has a keen interest in moving forward with several projects, as well as the landowners and developers. We felt that the CFD issue was quite important because it provides a financing mechanism that can accelerate infrastructure more cost-effectively when there's multiple developers involved and there needs to be significant improvements. However, in the earlier versions of the study, we didn't feel it was addressed very adequately, so we provided some supplemental information that really looked at the historic and use of CFDs by the three agencies, to what extent they were deployed and so forth, and we provided that to LAFCO staff and their consultant. And that we received an acknowledgement from them that they are going to seriously relook at the issue because they are now starting to realize how important this issue is. Last item I'd like to report on is we have taken a support position on a bill, SB 1386. This is the Morlock bill that you'll recall helps clarify our ability to charge for fire facilities and fire-related services. This was a class in response to, there was a class action suit that was brought against over 50 districts in the state, essentially saying that the fire department needed to pay for water in the fire hydrants versus the property owners who benefit from those facilities. And there was existing case law that supported that, but it was unpublished case law. So Senator Morlock, with the urging of the San Diego County Water Authority and Irvine Ranch, introduced this bill. Well, the bill has passed out of the Assembly Local Government Committee on a unanimous vote, so it appears to have a lot of support and is moving forward. We're going to continue to advocate very heavily for this bill, and we are communicating our support to our legislative delegation as it moves through the legislature in the final days. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I had a quick question, Paul. Going back to the San Jacinto Wildlife, our negotiations would be one-on-one with the Fish and Wildlife Agency and not outside.
Yeah, we're
parties.
Going to engage the state of California to kind of see what they need in terms of a recycled water agreement and negotiate terms and conditions. Obviously, then it's transparent, it's public process. Yeah. This would be publicly approved by the board, so there'd be opportunity for stakeholders to look at that. But I think one of the things we really needed is to have some certainty as to what their needs were out there.
Absolutely.
And I think this really provides an important piece. And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, we have had interface with Chris Hayes at Fish and Wildlife Service, and they're interested in renegotiating the agreement as well.
Okay, now I just wanted to...
Now that this is done.
Our starting point would be a negotiation with them and not involving third
parties. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
So this is their plan?
This is their plan. This is kind of what I would describe. It's their land management plan. It's kind of the master plan for, if you will, kind of build out of the restoration and recreation efforts out at the wildlife sanctuary.
Okay. It might be worthwhile to have an update, see if it's phased or some of those things. To
sure.
Board.
We could, after we review the environmental impact
sure.
report, we could give an update to the board regarding the land uses out there and water demands, and we'd be happy to bring that forward. So we'll add that to the future agenda.
I think most everybody on the board would be interested in
sure.
an update.
No, that'd be great. We'd be happy to put something on the agenda.
And, thank you. And is it approved or is it just published for
it's
review?
It's a final EIR. So it's subject, obviously, it goes through a statutory challenge period, but it is a FEIR, so it's a final published EIR. And so it includes, they had circulated a draft, there were comments, it has a full response to comments section in the back of the EIR, okay. And it's certified by the state.
So we've had a chance to look at it.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Great.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Laura.
Nothing today.
Nick.
Nothing today.
Ooh, Joe.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. I just have one item. If you recall, in late May, we approached the board with a request to advance immediate contracts to take care of a sewer, the Calmedusa sewer down in the city of Temecula, where we had experienced significant erosion and a portion of the sewer was exposed within a blue line stream. The board approved the project to go forward, and we were able to obtain a 404 permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, and that only provided us 4 weeks to complete the work. I'm really pleased to report that last week we completed the repair work on the Calmedusa sewer. We had our contractor mobilize immediately as soon as we received the 404 permit, and the work was done very expeditiously. So we will be coming back to the board with a more comprehensive solution to that sewer in the city of Temecula within Calmedusa, but at least the immediate repairs have been completed, and I wanted to let you know. That's it.
Thank you. Jeff.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. Today I'm pleased to announce to you our new Director of Water Operations, David Garcia. This coincidentally is the first time many of the staff have actually seen David without a mask or seen him at all in person, given their COVID situation. So I'm really pleased to have David with us. David comes to us from the city of Riverside. He worked there for about 11 years. He was their water operations manager. Prior to that, he's also worked with Orange County Water District, worked heavily on their groundwater recharge program. Factory 21 was beginning its infancy as David was at that agency. He also worked for Walnut Creek or Walnut Valley, Valley Water District in Orange County. He comes to us with a bachelor's degree in environmental sciences from UCR and a master's degree in environmental studies from University of California, Fullerton. So he's very qualified for the position. He's a grade 5 water distribution certified operator, as well as a grade 5 water treatment operator. So I'm very pleased to have David here after a brief hiatus from causes retirement. And he's doing a great job. He's getting thrust into the limelight very, very quickly. Some challenges that we've been experiencing with power and everything in the past week. So, you know, happy to have David here. So,
welcome. Thank you.
Good. Welcome aboard.
So to talk about Dave's first 2 weeks, this is his second week, actually. This week, you guys have all been aware of a lot of the Edison load shedding programs that have been going on. The state, California Independent System Operator, has asked many agencies and cities, large power users, to try to shed electrical load to the extent possible. They've also enacted programs where they're turning off air conditioners on homes, et cetera. And so Eastern's not immune from that type of a program. We are enrolled in programs where we get a benefit on our electrical bill if we purposefully shed when asked to shed, and that's called a base interruptible program. So we took advantage of that, and we did, we'll see a financial savings from shedding the load on those sites. There was 14 sites included in that base interruptible program, and there's actually more, but they only called on 14. That includes 3 of our wastewater plants, so all 4, with the exception of the San Jacinto plant, would shed load to the extent they could. Not go offline, but shed critical loads. Many of our water facilities actually did go entirely offline. We had adequate water and or storage in the tanks, so we were able to just turn off a pumping plant or a well based on having water in reserve for the event. So that went really well. Obviously, we're still on alert for today and probably even tomorrow this week, but we continue to work through those challenges. In a loosely related matter, the Department of Water Resources wanted to turn on a turbine generator facility on the state water project, and in doing so, it was going to change. They needed to have a higher flow rate through a pipeline, highest it's been in years, and so we made the decision, or they called us and told us that this was going to happen, and we were concerned with stirring up sediments and things in that pipeline and water quality issues. So good intentions, we made a decision to switch the source of supply in consultation with Metropolitan Water District from the state water project source over to Lake Paris. And in the end, we had received sample data from Metropolitan about Lake Paris, looking at water quality issues and concerns, specifically algae, geosmin, and color. And as of the sample taken on last Wednesday, a week ago today, that the sample looked really good. So on Sunday, we did transfer supplies at the Paris Water Filtration Plant to Lake Paris. And in the end, it really turned out not to be the best decision. Whether it's a function of where the water is pulled from the lake or the sample, maybe the lake bloomed just in the 3 days intervening, whatever happened there, we experienced a significant amount of complaints in the North Paris area starting mostly yesterday through yesterday evening. We have worked through those issues. We've transferred the source of supply for the plant back to State Water Project, and largely, Philip, we've got a we're on top of that issue at this point. But just so you're aware, we did probably get on the order of 40 phone calls is what I'm understanding, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's not right, David. So no health issues per se. It's all a taste and odor type matter, as well as some color. So we're on top of that, and I believe we're on the downhill side of that issue. So I want to mention that just so in case you do hear about it. It has been on social media, and April's team has been on top of that. Really appreciate that. So that, I think that's all I had. If you have any questions?
Jeff, I did. On the power interruptions, how close, I mean, obviously we want to be good community citizens, et cetera, but, you know, we're also a mission critical agency here.
Yes.
And I would, if, do we get close to where our customers would notice or that we're not being able to provide service?
No, it was zero impact to customers, with the exception of us making the decision to switch water supplies. Generally, with regard to water and the hydrant pressure, everything, they would never know. So
Okay. We're
writing off the pressure coming from the tanks in the hills, so we top those off in advance, pump them full in the night when power's low cost, in anticipation of a interrupt event.
Okay, so we're not anywhere near it. We would have any customers interruption.
No. I mean, when we entered into these agreements, we had a load shedding plan in place, so because we knew eventually they would be called. So it doesn't affect the customers. It's kind of interesting what a significant statewide event this is. Jeff, that you might want to note the governor's executive order that I forwarded to you.
Yes, the governor, this is great, actually, progress, I would say. He issued an executive order, I think it was Monday, it might have been Sunday, allowing us to run our standby power generators outside of the 200-hour limitation that AQMD places on those units. So if the power was such a concern statewide that if you had the ability to operate your generator, you were able to do so without dipping into the 200-hour limitation for those generators. So that was great, actually, to get
that
order.
That's very significant.
It sounds almost like common sense.
I can't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, let's go to agenda item 3, which is a consent calendar. I'll accept a motion and a second for approval of items 3A through 3G.
Move consent calendar.
1 second.
I'll second.
Been moved by Director Record, seconded by Director Slauson. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Motion is approved unanimously.
President Sullivan, I would like to note that Steve O'Neill is on the phone. And so he's been part of the meeting.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Director Sullivan, I apologize for the technical issues, but I've been on the general manager's general manager report.
Okay.